Blog Talk Radio.
Talk show with your host Wayne Cooper, 7 p.m. on the East Coast and 4 p.m. here on the West Coast. So glad you could join us today on this fine Wednesday. Trust that everything is going well for all of you. Today we want to talk about the Biden transgender agenda. But then I'm asking the question, where are the real women or the biological women on the debate? And so I want to take some time today to discuss that, because I think this is an important subject, not only for our country, but for women in particular. Now, I realize that when we talk about transgender, that it goes more than just one way. So for example, we know that there are biological women who identify in terms of their gender as males. And then, of course, there are men who identify as women. But today, I want to just talk specifically about how it impacts women. Because in this country, women have had a long road in terms of getting equal rights, being recognized for their skills, just for who they are in terms of their human worth and dignity. And so women have fought a very hard fight in the years gone by. And I think that there is something on the horizon that is threatening those rights. And it has to do with this new administration, President Joe Biden's administration, and it has to do with the transgender agenda, or the transgender movement, if you will. Now, let me just say, for the record, I realize that the issue or the subject of transgenderism didn't just come up because Joe Biden is the president. I've often said that whenever there's been a cultural shift, in our country, that, we can't just blame it on one particular person. These things have been brewing for years. But the difference is this, depending on who's in the White House and depending on who's running Congress, these various cultural wars, if you will, take on different, different looks depending on who's in charge. So for example, just to give you an illustration, when President George W. Bush was in office, we all know that the LGBT community had an agenda, and one of the things that they wanted, of course, was the recognition of marriage. But of course, that didn't happen under the presidency, the administration of President George W. Bush. Obviously, he's a conservative Republican. Even though he didn't have both houses of Congress in his favor, but he did have enough conservative voices, whether it be in the House or whether it be in the Senate, depending on the year, because he served two terms, as we remember. And so my point is that the LGBT Q community or their agenda did not make a lot of inroads during that administration. However, we know that during the next administration under our former president, President Barack Obama, that community made a lot of strides and a lot of movement towards gaining access to marriage and other things. And so President Obama will definitely be remembered for his administration, because it was under his administration that we saw a major shift in our country in terms of the understanding of marriage and the family, because it was under the Obama administration that we got gay marriage. And so I just want to call our attention to that. And so now, then of course we had the Trump administration, and the Trump administration did things. Again, it is not to say that the transgender movement was not moving during the Trump administration. It's just that it did not get a lot of traction like it is now. And so President Joe Biden is in office, and he's only been in office maybe like 3 weeks or so, and already he has signed executive orders. And one of the big ones had to do with the transgender agenda. And so I thought I'd just come today for just a little while and talk about the Biden transgender agenda. But I was interested in just doing a little research and to find out, like, what do biological women have to say about this particular movement? I was reading and researching, and there's a lady, for example, her name is Kaylee Triller Harvey, spelled H-A-V-E, and it looks like have, but it's pronounced Harvey, and she is actually, listen to this, she is actually a rape survivor, and one of the things that was near and dear to her heart as she thought about this subject, I'm quoting her, where she was talking or being interviewed, and one of the things that she said as it relates to gender identity in America today, and because of her concern had to do with women's rights and things of that nature, she says, and I quote, "If gender identity wins, women lose." Think about that. If gender identity wins, women lose. End quote. And so if you think about that, it's an interesting thought coming from her when we're talking about gender identity, because transgender obviously falls under that category. And so, let's just ask a question. You know, why aren't we seeing a lot of women groups rise up to challenge, you know, this particular policy? Because let's just see what the policy is. So under President Biden's transgender agenda and the policy, basically what this means is, I mean, and I'm going through it just in case you don't understand what it means. It means, for example, that all males who identify as women will be able to go into the restrooms with women, whether the women likes it or not, whether they approve of it or not, the men who identify. The other thing is in that policy, in that executive order, is that, of course, men will be able to, compete with women in women's sports. So if a man who is a biological man and he simply identifies, you know, as a female, okay, and we're talking about whether he's had any kind of surgery or not, whether he's on any kind of, medication to try to change some things about him, that doesn't matter. According to this executive order, he will have the right to compete against biological women, okay? And so there are a few other things in there. But the point is that President Biden is giving the transgender community full weight of being able to do as they identify themselves as. Okay. And so that should be cause a lot of concern for women and for people who care about women rights. And so, but I had to ask the question, Why aren't we seeing women groups rise up to challenge this kind of movement? Because we can go through history and we know that whenever there was discrimination against women, there was various women organization. Perhaps the most notable one was called NOW, National Organization of Women. And whenever there was something perceived by them to be, unfair or unequal concerning women, they made their voices heard, and they had a very powerful voice politically speaking. But I find it quite interesting, even curious as to why I haven't seen many, if any at all, any women groups rise up to challenge this notion about transgenders and about biological males being able to come into ladies' restrooms and bathrooms and being able to compete against them. What is this really all about? And then the question that I think that needs to be asked, should Congress step in to bar, biological males that identify with women, or as women, I should say, from competing against biological females? And the reason I'm bringing up Congress, because understand something, an executive order is just that. But when you get Congress involved, some things can be changed, in a more lasting way, because we all know that every president has obviously made some executive orders, and then only to see those executive orders get overturned by the new administration executive order. And I think that when it comes to this subject of transgenderism, that the Congress ought to have a say, and the Congress ought to be able to speak to it. Now, I realize that that is still risky, because depending on who's running things in Congress, some things can be changed that will impact our culture, our American culture, for a very, very long time. And so, and I was just thinking about, President Biden, and think about it, of all the things that incoming President Biden, could do. You think about going back to his very first day in office, and ask yourself, why was one of them signing a radical transgender activist executive order? What was the hurry in that? What was that all about? Because, it's obviously, in his view, is talking about transgender equality. And in fact, he said that transgender equality is actually the great civil rights issue of our day. Now, I don't know whether you believe that, but I certainly don't believe that. That is not the great civil rights issue of today, okay? But President Biden's his executive action declares war on the rights of others, right? But especially females. And that's what I'm talking about today. And that's what we should all be concerned about. Every biological woman, I don't care how kind and free-hearted she is. And by the way, let me just be clear, because, this show is the Voice of Reason talk show, and I am a voice of reason. And one of the things that I want to say is that when we talk about transgender persons, I will always believe that transgender persons are human beings. They may have obviously some issues, with dysphoria, and other things that have impacted as to why and how they think the way they do. But I think that every person who identifies as a transgender ought to be treated with the utmost respect and dignity, and I will always do that. So you won't ever hear name-calling or denigrating people in that community at any time on this show. But I do want to be clear that when you think about it, transgender equality is not the great civil rights issue of the day, as President Biden has stated. I think he's badly mistaken. And so He tweeted, just going back, so if you want to look it up, you can see it for yourself, on January the 25th, even going back to 2020. So before he became president, this was on his mind, because on that tweet, he says, and I quote, "Let's be clear, transgender equality is the civil rights issue of our time," end quote. And so it is about prioritizing the perceived needs of those who identify as transgender, meaning those who do not feel at home with their biological sex, to the point that the rights of others are negatively impacted. So we got to be concerned about it. Now, think about it. So I've said it. I'll say it just one final time. We're not talking about a legitimate civil rights issue. So a civil rights issue would be, you know, such as telling a black man, hey, you cannot drink from a white man's water fountain, or telling a black woman, you cannot sit in the white man's seat on the bus, okay? But we're talking about even as early as a six-year-old girl being forced to share her school bathroom with a biological boy who believes he's a girl. That's what we're talking about. Or you could say we're talking about, even if you get older, we're talking about a 17-year-old girl being told she must share her school locker room with a biological male who wants to play on the girls' softball team or on the girls' soccer team. And we're talking about the same 17-year-old girl, so hear me well here, who misses out on a, and we're hearing about this, on a prize scholarship that she's wanted because she was beaten by a biological male peer who identifies as a female. So in other words, they were running an event at a track meet, and she's banking on winning, because if she wins, she has an opportunity to go to a school of her heart's desire, only to see those hopes and dreams shattered because she was beaten by a biological male who had no business competing against her. Okay? So I just want to say that this is something that we ought to be concerned with. Now, President Biden, in his executive order, said something else that's troubling, that should cause all of us, but especially women, some deep concern. So I quote, he says, "Children should be able to learn without worrying about whether they will be denied access to the restroom, the locker room, or school sports," end quote. That comes from President Joe Biden. So we got some things here in a few minutes here we got to talk about. And the question is, I said to you that I have looked to hear from various women groups, you know, to stand up against this. And I haven't seen that yet, at least on a national level. But I have done some research. So I've done some reading. I've done some, you know, deliberate research. You know, just trying to, I've even talked to females, you know, just to get their view about it. And the honest truth is, what I've learned is there are some women, you know, who are in person I'm talking about. Watch this. Some women had an opinion about this, but because I was going to have a show where I brought maybe two women on to discuss this, and I try to be fair and balanced, so I try to get a good, well-rounded perspective, knowing that there are some women, you know, maybe due to political correctness, maybe, you know, they will say, hey, you know, this is fine with me. But there are other women who are very adamantly against, you know, transgenders being able to come into women's bathrooms and compete against women. And so, but I decided maybe that this was so sensitive. And then the other thing that came up, because we've already discussed this issue of cancer culture, a couple of these women, you know, who work in the corporate world. And so we just decided that maybe, at least for right now, was not a good time to talk about those things or to say their names, because, you know, you simply never know what happens to people today. And so I don't want to put people's career or jobs at risk, you know, because we're having a sincere conversation about what is going on in the country. And so, but I was able to do some research and maybe listen to interviews that's on the internet where this subject is very strong and where women are speaking out in other, you know, and just in other parts of, you know, the world even. And so one lady that really stands out, her name is, she's an author. Her name is Abigail Schreier. And she wrote a book a few years ago. It's called Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters. And, I've read a little bit of her stuff, you know, long before we are doing this show today. And but Miss Abigail Schreier, you know, tweeted something that really was a great concern of hers. And I want to quote her and then maybe talk a little bit about it, because she says, quote, on day one, President Biden unilaterally eviscerates women's sports. Okay. And that's due to the executive order. And then she goes on to say, any educational institution that receives federal funding must admit biologically male athletes to women's teams, women's scholarship, etc. And then she says this is an interesting thought. She says, a new glass ceiling was just placed over girls, end quote. And so Ms. Schreier, you know, makes some good points here, and, you know, that this is a unilateral move by President Biden, you know, to just eviscerate women's sports. And every biological woman should be greatly concerned about this. And then she says something else here that I want to quote. She says, over the past few years, athletes, coaches, and parents have been watching in disbelief as girls are being replaced on the winner's podium by boys who identify as girls at all levels of competition. It's what prompted Idaho to enact a law to protect females from having prompted the U.S. Department of Education Office for Civil Rights to conclude that my home state, Connecticut, is in violation of federal law. And so she goes on to say, this is not right, let alone a matter of civil rights. This is a matter of unfair discrimination. So, my dear friends, when we think about this, we have this woman, Ms. Abigail Schreier, who speaks to this. But I would definitely, because I browsed through the book, Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters, I would recommend that if this subject you know, piques your interest, that you would buy it, because you can learn a lot from her in terms of, you know, her concerns and the fact that she is an activist in, you know, for women's rights. And she sees this as a major threat to all of the inroads that women have made, you know, in the country. And so then there's another woman. Her name is Miriam Ben-Shalom. And the reason I picked her, because I realized that for those of you who are listening to me, you may say, but hey, Mr. Cooper, you know, you are simply speaking from one perspective, and you are speaking from the perspective of people who may see this matter the way that you see it. And so maybe your views are skewed because you only can see it one way. Well, I purposely decided that I would go to the LGBTQ community and just research and just listening to what is being said, because I don't want you to ever think that just because someone identifies in that community, that it doesn't, you know, that it doesn't mean that they don't agree with this, you know, this new executive order by the president. There are people in the LGBTQ, you know, community that disagrees with it wholeheartedly. And one such person is a woman by the name of Miriam Ben-Shalom. And basically, she is an activist. And here's how she made history, just so that you know. She made history by being the first openly lesbian woman reinstated to the military. Okay? So she has some history. And I thought, you know, listening to her could give some further credibility to this issue in terms of, you know, how a woman who, you know, who's a part of the community, of the LGBTQ community, and yet, obviously, you know, she doesn't hate anyone, but she has a view about this. In fact, she was quoting Thomas Paine from The Age of Reason, and then listen to this. She says, to argue with a man who has renounced reason is like giving medicine to the dead. And so Ms. Shalom argued that the gender identity and transgender movement abandons all reason and scientific reality. Isn't that interesting, coming from a lesbian woman? Again, she argues that the gender identity and that the transgender movement abandons all reason and scientific reality. And then she goes on to say that it relies instead on intimidation and threats to advance its cause. Now, then she makes this statement, which I think is very powerful. Listen to it. She says, and I quote, a lot of people are lying to themselves and each other. She says about this gender identity and transgenderism posed to women. She says, those in the gay and lesbian community who recognize the threat are being bullied into silence. They fear transgender activists. Now, isn't that amazing, coming from a lesbian woman, a woman who is a member of the LGBTQ community? And then I love this part, what she says. Quote, biology isn't bigotry. Biology is the truth. People who oppose transgender policies are not transphobic. They are opposed to the new form of patriarchal male violence against women that transgender policies usher in, end quote. So, give that some thought. And maybe I tell you what, I'm going to have another discussion about this, and I can tell you the next time I will have maybe one or two women on as my special guest, because I want to hear from women, to hear women and how they really feel about this. You know, 30 minutes goes by so fast, and my time is already up, but I wanted to just broach the subject. I didn't want to take all day to do it. But I want to thank you for listening in, and for those who will listen in later, let's just understand that we got to be concerned about this policy and how it takes away the rights of all people, but especially women who have suffered historically in our country. So until the next time, this is the Voice of Reason Talk Show with your host, Wayne Cooper. Be good.